This Civic Media podcast is sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. Organ donations are desperately needed, and now is the right time to become an organ donor. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Go to heroicdeed.com.
WMDX, John and Gordy in the morning.
And, good morning.
A little bit of Ken Nordine this morning.
Yes.
You got to get your vocal warm-ups in, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's right. Yeah. Always got to warm up a little bit. Yeah, we should do some, we should find some more Ken Nordine maybe for the holidays.
Yeah. Well, I wonder, you know, people really enjoy Ken Nordine very much.
You know, I'm not sure. You know, are the people even jazz aware?
Word jazz.
Yeah, the word jazz guy.
Back in the 50s and 60s. I mean, he was one of the icons back then. He didn't really intend it to be like that, but interesting interview. It would be great to rerun that interview on this show. You know, it just...
We could do that, maybe during the holiday week that we're planning.
Oh, yeah, we should try that then.
Yeah.
Yeah, good idea.
We could sample some of that.
I was talking about yesterday, I was hallucinating on coffee. I had a little bit too much.
During the show.
Yeah. That never happens.
You seem normal to the rest of us.
Well, I don't know what was going on. The thing is, I have this really good coffee now, and I thought I could use a couple extra scoops in the coffee, and it would even taste better. Sometimes coffee gets a little too intense if you add too much coffee. But for some reason, it didn't get intense, but the caffeine did. And I was flying yesterday, just
Caffeine's
flying.
Not really that good for you. You were shaking a little bit.
I was
sweating.
It was not good.
Yeah.
I almost OD'd on the show.
Wow.
You know, talking to Sam about making what? Go ahead.
Maybe somebody dosed you.
Yeah. Yeah. Somebody wanted to have unwanted sex with me.
What the hell are you talking?
John got roofied.
That's it, Sam.
God.
But you know, Sam was talking about still making coffee in his percolator. Can you believe that? Percolator. Yeah.
Well, I refuse to buy a new coffee maker if I've got one that works fine.
You were just talking to me how inexpensive they are. All you have to do is go out and buy another one.
You can. Well, I walked into Target a couple days ago and they had $20 coffee makers right there.
Yeah. Mm. Well, that doesn't sound like it'd make a good cup.
Well, that's true.
But, you know, here's the thing, though. Your percolator, you said it was your grandmother's, right?
Great-grandparents.
No, really?
Yeah.
Wow, it's got to be really
good. You don't
see
percolators too much anymore.
No, you don't.
Yeah.
That was my first coffee maker when I got my first apartment in Milwaukee.
A percolator, yeah.
Yeah. Before I started really getting into coffee.
Did they have drip coffee makers by then even? Had they been invented?
I don't think they were at that time. No, seriously, I don't think they were.
Yeah.
Victor Allen's kind of, I think they started in Milwaukee on the east side, but I'm not sure. But this is well before that, you know, before the coffee roasters started appearing all over the city. But the percolator, I got to tell you, I kind of liked percolated coffee. I thought it
That's
was really
a hot
good.
Take.
Maybe it's coming back.
Isn't that weird? I just loved it.
I gotta find a place that sells coarse ground coffee, because like with fine ground stuff, like you buy everywhere, it gets into the coffee so much with my coffee maker.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
It's weird. Okay.
So definitely, you know, keep that percolator going.
As long as it keeps working, I'm going to keep it.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, they certainly make better coffee makers now. I have a super coffee maker right now. But yeah, you keep that thing and enjoy the flavor. And someday you'll look back on it and say, geez, I love that percolated coffee.
Do you want me to bring it in so you can have a cup made with it?
Bring it in.
Well, yeah, it'd be kind of fun, wouldn't it?
It would be fun.
Yeah.
Do you just buy regular coffee off the off the shelf to use?
Not the cans. Drip the cans.
Drip the can, like Bill's Brothers or something.
Yeah. You know what? The better coffee in cans is, I think, Folgers. It was, anyway.
That's what I always use.
It's the best part of waking up.
Folgers. Is that the slogan?
Yeah.
Because Maxwell House was a little bitter for me. I didn't like Maxwell House.
Yeah.
That's what,
but it's cheaper.
The can of coffee that I had here for our coffee maker, I brought in once, like, we ran out of the little individual packs. It was Maxwell House. I don't know what happened to it, but it tasted like cigarettes the first time I brewed maker here. I don't know if I've gotten used to it or if the flavor has just gone away somehow.
Maybe your taste buds are changing.
I guess I've gotten used to cigarette coffee.
Yeah.
Maybe people are putting their cigarette butts out in that can and you didn't know it.
Well, you've been smoking those big cigars, you know, when you go on break.
And so
those aren't good for it. Try to lower your voice
a
little
chomper.
Bit.
Yeah.
that's good. Well, whatever you're drinking to keep you warm this morning, it's damn cold.
It's
out.
Damn cold.
That's
out
what
there.
I think weather people should start swearing more on the air. You know,
that's
like
what
TV
I'm
weather. It's just damn cold.
It really
damn
adds cold. Emphasis.
Yes. It would be.
It's anyway. Windy too.
Yes. It's very breezy.
It's cold as S words.
Yes, it is.
All right.
Okay. Let's see. Right now it's 10 degrees and with the wind chill factored in, a little northwest breeze at 10 to 15 miles per hour, it's -6. That's the way it feels. That's the feels like temperature.
It feels like that's great. That's great.
Would you like to know what the afternoon high is?
I'd like to know.
Let's do the roulette wheel thing. Spin happens. That thing around backwards. It'll change counterclockwise. Okay. It's taking a lot long. Oh, 25 for an afternoon high.
Is there a way to make it go less time?
I don't know.
Smaller radius?
Seemed like it went a little longer.
Spun
that
it
time.
A little too hard that time.
Okay.
All right.
25 is our expected high.
That's not good.
But it's going to be windy all day long. So bundle up, you know, dress in layers. Get a hat and a scarf and gloves.
I've mentioned this before, but my sons have a different sleep time. And my younger son, who likes to go out in the middle of the night and take walks, which I have to get a lighted thing so it looks like he's out there actually intentionally walking instead of looking like he's gonna peer in people's windows or rob a store or something. But he came up this morning and said, I went out for a walk. I said, really?
Wow. Says,
yeah, it's 8 degrees out and it's too cold. He just bought gloves on Amazon and they're not insulated. I think, you know, your gloves aren't insulated. You really have to get some insulated gloves. Well, I guess so, but it's so cold out there in the wind that I think if I wore goggles, I'd be okay.
Goggles.
I've never thought of anybody wearing goggles because it's too cold outside, but I thought, you know, that's an interesting angle. Okay, go with that.
Yeah.
So he's walking around downtown Middleton with goggles.
Well, maybe his eyeballs got all frozen up.
Yeah, well, the
eyelashes.
Wind, the wind.
Yeah.
That's what his solution is to that.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
All right. Well, should we check out the National Day calendar? Or
let's
not?
Do it.
Should we skip it today? Or
we always try to, but let's get to it.
All right. It's December 5th. Is it or is it not National Repeal Day? Is it or is it not National Sacerdote Day?
So that's the word you could.
S A C H E R. So you know this is a day.
Sacerdote.
Well, you look at it.
Okay.
How would you pronounce that? You see it?
Yeah, Sacerdote.
Okay.
I have no idea.
And is it, or is it Bathtub Party Day?
It's not.
Or is it paper cut?
Day.
Paper cut day.
Okay, it's not paper cut day.
You're right.
All right.
Ding ding ding.
Okay. Let's get into the Sacerdote
day. That sounds like a dessert item, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Hey, guess what? We're right. What if you like chocolate and you like cake, then National Soccer Torte Day is today, and it's a perfect day for you. The layered ingredients make this dessert a delicious torte, right?
It almost seems like, you know, the French did this on purpose just to make people not be able to say the name of whatever dessert they sent to the U.S.
Do we have Julian standing by? Can you throw it in there or not?
Torte.
Okay. At the age of 16, a guy named Franz Sacher was the only apprentice to the chef when some chef, it doesn't mention.
I think you might have said the word right.
Sacher.
Sacher.
Sacher?
I don't know.
I don't know. Anyway, they made this dessert. Who cares?
Where is he from? Is he from the U.S.?
I believe he's from France.
Oh, okay.
Germany. One of the other. It doesn't really say where. Oh, Vienna. I'm sorry.
Vienna. Okay.
Austria. Okay. Cakes and torts are very similar, actually. In fact, a tort is a type of cake. Okay. I'm done with that. It's bathtub party day. Did you find Julian? Do you have it? Let's hear him. Here we go.
The German pronunciation, Sachertorte. Okay. Yes, I know. In English, it's not generally pronounced this way. It's often pronounced as Sachertorte.
Sachertorte.
Yeah, that makes sense to me.
Okay.
Hey, we had a couple of responses here in regards to coffee. Yeah. Wasn't there a song that featured a coffee percolating sound? It was.
Yeah.
The percolator. That's not,
songs,
not the
yeah.
one that. Yeah, but there's an actual one way back in the 50s.
Yeah,
what's it called?
It's for one of the coffee companies, either Hillsborough or Hillsborough. Hills Brothers. Hillsborough's a town.
Yeah, I play that on the show every now and then, don't I?
Yeah. Well, it sounds like it's a takeoff of that,
but
it's not exactly.
But the original is.
I'll do some digging.
Is very good. All right, and somebody said I used to wear goggles snowmobiling and downhill skiing. So
oh sure
yeah
makes sense. It's bathtub party day. Hey, do you have a bathtub? Well, it's party time. It encourages everybody to skip the ordinary shower and linger in the tub instead. Why would we need a day just for that? Add some suds to the tub and pamper yourself. It's a bathtub party. It sounds suspiciously like a crowded affair, but it doesn't have to be. Says here.
I've been in a few of those bathtub parties.
Don't tell us about your days in 1968.
All right.
Nobody wants to know.
But they're fun.
Remember, never mind.
What?
Arnie Wheeler?
Wheeler, yeah.
There was a hot tub party one time for 92 MAD. I don't know.
That probably didn't end well.
No, it didn't. Never mind. It's 18 minutes past the hour. When we come back, we'll open up the dusty history book for today. It's John and Gordy in the morning. Rolling and it's trolling, moving with the groove, splish, splash, yeah. Splishing and a splash, yeah. One
time I was splishing and a splash, yeah. Woo-hoo. You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Available on Madison's east side or west side, or just go online at verlo.com.
All right.
It is cold out there this morning, 13 degrees. Highs this afternoon around 31. And right now it feels like 3 degrees. 3 little degrees.
The feel like temperature is outrageous this morning.
The wind chill.
It is.
All right.
It is.
We are attempting to reach Pam Yonke. What's the word?
So I just had to restart our phone system, got our phones working again, dialed her number, and now it says it's out of service.
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, did you call her cell?
I called the number in her email signature.
Today? No, right now. She sent us a...
What?
She sent us an email with a cell number.
Okay.
Well, we'll give that a try then.
All right. Just, I got a little pop-up on my screen here saying that we had an additional call from Pam, and we're having phone problems this morning, and this is a great way to start this new feature.
Well, it's exciting.
This is, our farm report right here. And because there are so many great things coming up in farming, some great news.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I couldn't resist having Pam on the program.
Yeah. We have her now, I think. Do we?
Yes.
All right. We made the connection now. We're having some sort of phone problems here at the studios, but we welcome Pam Yockey to the John and Gordy Show this morning. Good morning, Pam.
Morning, guys. How are we doing?
We're doing good
now. We're
doing
okay now. We had some last-minute technical difficulties, but you know how that goes. We got through it.
I certainly do. It wouldn't be a Friday morning without it.
That's right. That's right. Exactly. But, you know, you sent us some of the topics that you'd like to talk about today, and I am really fascinated by the fact that drones that are used in farming are getting bigger and bigger now. Is that correct?
Oh, I wasted so much time this morning watching the video of this rascal. I think we've all had our encounters with drones, whether it's your kid running one into the wall or something like that, or, you know, law enforcement finding the crook in the marsh with one, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah,
right.
But these kind of blow my mind. So these literally, fellas, are full-sized helicopters that we're talking about.
Wow.
And they're unmanned. I guess, you know, it's not like a people carrier kind of helicopter. It's a little bit more streamlined. But the bottom line is, for real, they put platforms on the back of essentially trucks that can go out into the middle of the field carrying whatever product they're going to apply, let's say fungicide or herbicide, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that plane can literally land on the platform, be refueled, be reconnected with the sources, and then bang, just like your kid's drone, it's controlled from the ground, it takes off. And I thought to myself, man, they're talking $1.5 million for one of these. And I thought, okay, now how does it pencil out?
Yeah.
But in reality, it's cheaper than the way we're doing it now. Comes in about $2 an acre. They figure they can do about 240 acres and I want to say an hour. I'd have to look back at my numbers, but it's, and you know, the other thing I didn't realize, I had a story on this morning about it. I didn't realize how many old people like me would call them crop dusters.
How many
crop dusters lost their lives this year just trying to put product on? So a lot of different reasons.
This would replace the crop dusters, the pilots that do this stuff, right? This is a fantastic idea. We're talking to Pam Yockey, Midwest Farm Report, and we're getting the latest on farming news, and I just love this idea. But, you know, it seems like the other farmers, everybody could kind of join in or pay for or help pay for something like this, a product like this. Yeah. Would that be helpful?
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking myself is, are we going to need air traffic control on somebody's farm for all these drones that are going to be zip over fields?
Yeah.
But yeah, you're right. I mean, in theory, a group of farmers could get together and buy one of these and operate it, because the hard part about when you need them is you need them now.
Yeah.
Like the weather window is only open so far, or you can only attack the bugs in a certain window. And obviously time is of the essence. So making sure that you've got this rig here instead of having them fly it up from Kansas or some of the other states we lean on.
Mm-hmm.
And like I said, let's not mince words. Agriculture is an aging population. Mm-hmm. We don't have a lot of people that are getting excited about getting into agriculture, at least not in the volumes that we need them. So we're facing a labor shortage. Now you're telling me that if I'm going to take this job on, you know, that thrill of being in the air is one thing, but the fear of coming boom on the ground obviously is a factor that's keeping some people from investing in being crop dusters of the next generation. So I just thought it was kind of fascinating this morning to think, you know, just a couple years ago, we had drones that were basically just telling us where the crop was suffering.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just was giving us little pictures. And now all of a sudden it's turning into a utility for us potentially.
Pam, are these already being used in Wisconsin? Are they out there? Well,
nope, not yet. That's why I'm kind of keeping an eye on it. So this company, Rotor, Rotorai, is just waiting for FAA approval to put them in the air in 2025, but they said they've already got advance orders. And if you look at the video, the other thing I thought was interesting is the video on their website will give people a direct idea of what agriculture looks like today. You see a lot of young people, techies. Mm-hmm. You see investor-type people, and you also see farmers that aren't the bibs and toothpick that are standing there ready to write a check to make this happen for their operation.
Bibs and toothpick. Yeah. I like that picture. Pam, we only have a minute or so
just
left.
A minute left.
But one of the other things that you were talking about recently, more cheese and butter coming from the same amount of milk.
Yeah, how do they do that?
How is that possible?
You know what? Because our Wisconsin dairy farmers do it so well. They take such good care of those cattle. The cattle have fantastic genetics that every hundredweight, which is the way we talk in dairy, every hundredweight of milk today is producing about a pound more butter than it did a decade ago, and about a pound more cheese than it did a decade ago. And that's just because of great care from Wisconsin farmers and the fantastic genetics those cows carry.
Well, I think my family is countering that. I think we're eating that extra amount. So
many are. Many are, my boy. That's right.
It is. Well, Pam, thanks for joining us. I can't wait for other reports that we're going to get here on the program.
Can we call you Monday, same time? Will that work for you?
Let's do it, boys. All right.
We're really happy to have you with us, Pam. We appreciate
it. Thanks for the opportunity. Have a great weekend, fellas.
All right.
All right. You too.
Thank you.
That's Pam Yonke, of course, with the Midwest Farm Report here throughout the Civic Media Network.
Absolutely.
Great to have her with us. 29 past the hour. Coming back with Idiocracy on John and Gordy in the Morning.
You're an organ donor, right? Well, here's a tragic fact. Approximately 20 people die each day waiting for precious donated organs. You could make a life-saving decision simply by getting that important dot on your driver's license. That little dot shows those who need to know that you've made a decision to donate organs at a critical time. Go to heroicdeed.com to learn more about the importance of organ donation and how you can make your wishes known. Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. HeroicDeed.com.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Einstein's Express, where we move your package so fast that we actually break the time barrier. In fact, we guarantee that your package will arrive at its destination at least 12 hours before you send it. Einstein's Express, when it absolutely, relatively has to get there the day before yesterday.
Well, that was purposeful. Einstein's Express. I like it. All right. And by the way, that is a name that cropped up in Mike McCabe's latest Substack article.
Really?
Between Nothing and Everything. You talked a little bit about Einstein. And I want to get into that. What you're looking at basically are two sides of the aisle here, technically. Bottom line, looking at the left and right. One uses faith and the other uses facts. Tell us how you brought up Einstein in this conversation.
Well, I was telling Sam while you were off the or during the break that he asked why'd you write about Einstein, and I said, well, I just saw an Einstein quote in a newspaper editorial, and then my son wanted to see Oppenheimer. He had never seen it, and my wife and I rewatched it with him, and so that's what got me to thinking about Einstein and. But with all the mess that we've got in our world, I thought, hey, why not summon the dead and try to penetrate a far greater mind than my own to make sense of what's going on in our world? And Einstein is such a fascinating character,
such a normal individual,
balanced. one of the things that I marvel at is here's a guy who was an intellectual giant, and cooks up the theory of relativity and figures out E=mc² and all of this stuff, but he really never got a big head. All the people who knew him said that he was very self-deprecating, he was very modest, humble,
very humble guy,
very soft-spoken, didn't say a whole lot. When he spoke, he had remarkable insight to share, and he One of the fascinating things about him is here, probably no single human being has contributed more to the advancement of human knowledge than Albert Einstein. Mm-hmm. And yet, he said, imagination is more important than knowledge. And he had that ability to sort of look into the universe and look into the future and figure out stuff that we cannot fathom. Mm-hmm. Most of us, should be on our knees before Einstein. He was a giant.
Well, a lot of science fiction writers, also created a lot of.
And one of the things that fascinates me about Einstein is here's a guy who committed his whole life to scientific inquiry and the expansion of knowledge, and yet he seemed to have this really keen sense that knowledge doesn't take us all the way. There are unanswerable questions, mm-hmm. and he, the more answers he got, the more he realized there are questions I cannot answer, and that's where faith comes in. And when I use that term, I think some people think that, well, you're just trying to fill in the blanks. I think that's where, for Einstein, that's where imagination kicked in, where he had to, what he couldn't answer, he had to imagine mm-hmm. where to look, what questions even to ask. Just such a fascinating figure. And I think now we've got a party that is committed to facts and policy details and all of that. And we've got another party that just doesn't relate to facts the same way as the Democrats do. But it's a party with a significant movement behind it that is really more faith-based. And I go back to what, Karl Rove used to talk about back in the George W. Bush days. Mm-hmm. He said, you don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength.
Right, right.
But you need to understand their strengths before you can really attack those strengths. Mm-hmm. And I think Democrats have made a big mistake by not spending enough time thinking about what Donald Trump's strengths are. They sort of leap to the conclusion he's just followed by a cult and that it just sort of blindly does whatever he wants them to do. People are sort of dumbfounded by why people would put their faith in this man. Mm-hmm. And they think he's corrupt. He's a convicted felon. And people go on and on and on about all of what his failings are or what his weaknesses are. And don't give very much thought to what his strengths are.
But his weaknesses and his strengths are the exact same thing. He lies. He's the best liar I've ever seen. And that is his strength. So how do you attack lying?
But as I wrote in the column, how you would define fact and truth... Mm-hmm. One of the lines I put in there is that on that side, seeing isn't believing; believing is seeing. Mm-hmm. And they believe he's on their side. They believe that he has a vision for America that includes them, mm-hmm. and they feel excluded by the other side's vision of America. And so they are drawn to him like a magnet, and they will look past all the other stuff that Democrats are hung up on.
Yeah.
All of the things that we're outraged by on the left, they look past it all because they sense this guy has a vision for America that includes me and the other side doesn't. That creates a deep commitment on their part to him. And people on the Democratic side can't relate to that, can't fathom it. And that, I think, is a great mistake by mm-hmm. people on the Democratic side to not really think about why they believe that he has a vision for America that includes them and the other side doesn't. And that brings me back to what Karl Rove always used to say, and he was the mastermind behind George W. Bush and all of his campaigns. You don't attack a candidate's weakness, you attack their strength. Remember what he did to John Kerry?
Yeah.
A decorated war veteran, and he went after him and painted him as soft on the military and
a deserter
weak and basically a deserter.
Yeah.
And here was a decorated war veteran.
Absolutely.
And he figured that's that guy's strength. We're going to take that strength away from him. And I don't see that on the left with Trump. Nobody's thinking. They just sort of explain away his strengths, and they sort of say, well, it's just imaginary, or it's there's nothing really to it, and it's just this cult following that he has, and they blame it on the voters. But there is something there that draws people to Trump and makes them loyal. And so I think the question on the left is not what the hell is wrong with the voters, but what the hell is wrong with us that we can't beat Donald Trump? If he's as flawed as we say he is, if he's as horrible as we say he is, why has he been elected president for the second time?
Good question. Now, do you think one of his strengths is just this charisma? I mean, when he's on stage, you can't take your eyes off of him. Whether you love him or hate him, you know, he commands that spotlight. And is there something about just this charisma that people, they can't turn away from it?
That's undoubtedly true, Gordy. But I guess here's where Einstein, what Einstein would say is, but why?
Yeah.
Why can't people turn away? Mm-hmm. Why are people drawn to him like a magnet? And I don't have the answer to that question, but what troubles me is that people don't even seek to explore that. Mm. They don't even really sit back and let's really try to think. Let's suspend all of our preconceived notions or all our beliefs about how horrible Donald Trump is. And really think about what is it that makes people respond to him the way they do. And I think that's what Einstein would say to us, is you don't have the answer to that question, but you have to ask why. And you have to ask it earnestly. And you have to really explore that. Or, one of the things I wrote about is, you know, in that piece and Substack, is that we kind of have, you know, we have, team fact
and
team faith.
Yeah.
And I think when people say, well, he's lying, so he's not being factual.
That's me.
That's the end of the story then for them. It's he should be rejected simply because he's not telling the truth.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
But I think a lot of people who are voting for him are saying, yeah, I understand he's lying.
Yeah, they don't care.
And they don't care that he's lying because they get it. They understand that he's lying. And I've talked to so many Trump voters who say, he's not really going to do that.
Right.
I don't take that seriously. Yeah, he says that, but he says a lot of things. And I don't really take it seriously. And yet, they feel very strongly that he should be their president. Mm-hmm. And I think the people on the left need to take that seriously and really put their minds to trying to figure out why. But that requires people to say, okay, what does Trump really have going for him? And that's something that people on the left have a real hard time doing because they don't want to give him any credit for any positive attribute.
Right. And
that's dangerous.
My theory has always been that he ran for 4 years. And in advertising, if you can describe your opponent and identify them and give people that impression of what you think that person is, you define who your opponent is first, they win. They get it. And he had 4 years to define his opponent and attack their strengths because the opponent, the Biden administration, Bidenomics, actually helped the administration and it helped the country and it helped everybody out in this country, whether, you know, you were affected directly or indirectly. It helped everybody and he attacked all of that.
And from the grave, Albert Einstein would say to you, John,
What would he say?
You don't know that. It's a theory. And you have to, one of the great lines that Albert Einstein had is he says, if you really think we know what we're doing as scientists, then why do we call it research? We search, yeah. And then we research because we don't have the answers. I think there needs to be enough humility to say, we don't know. We simply don't know why this guy has such a spell on the American people. And we need to seriously research that.
Talking with Substack blogger Mike McCabe here. We're going to continue. We're getting a bunch of texts in here right now. Let me hit one or two of these.
Yeah.
According to the U.S. Department, this is from 1701. According to the U.S. Department of Education, 54% of Americans can't read or write prose beyond a sixth grade level. And you wonder why people don't try to look into whether something is factual or not.
Tom and Jackson said, Trump, face it, people are racist. He allows people to embrace that.
Mm-hmm. And we got another text that says, how do you get through to people who've been brainwashed into thinking Democrats are evil, especially when these are an entire information
ecosystem that make billions pushing that propaganda. Yeah. So
lots of texts coming in.
Good. Good input.
608-879-8255 or jump on the Civic Media app. We can ponder those questions, I guess, all day long.
Do
we have answers?
If there is a Trump voter out in the audience listening, and here's those texts right over the air, and they're saying, "I'm not brainwashed, and I'm not stupid. They think I'm stupid, and that probably makes me resent them a little bit more.
And they think I'm a racist.
And they think I'm a racist.
I resent that.
And that makes me resent them a little bit more.
Right.
And then we're surprised that they decide to vote against the people who feel that way about them.
Mm-hmm. All right.
Something to ponder.
Yep. We will be back with more.
We will continue this conversation.
With Mike McCabe in just a moment. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress available on Madison's East or West Side or online at verlo.com. Talking with Mike McCabe. Got a couple of more texts here during the break. This one from Doug, our Milwaukee correspondent. He says, from the grave, Albert Einstein said, Trump's strength has been...
And is
misinformation. I don't know. Doug is channeling Albert Einstein from the grave.
I like what Gary said.
Yeah, what did he say?
People are shallow and lazy, so they'll fall for someone just like them.
Okay.
All right, there you go. See another negative, and people say, that's not me.
We thank you for those texts. Keep them coming. Got one more here. Mike, my women friends and I can't stand looking at or listening to this...
anal-faced, spray-tanned criminal. Sorry. All we see is a predator and a rapist. Not sure where you're getting the awesomeness of this creep.
Hmm.
All right. Well.
Oh, I'm not. I don't believe he's awesome.
Yeah.
But I do acknowledge that he won more votes.
Yes.
And that he won more states, and that he got elected president of the United States. And there's been this article of faith on the left for a long time that voters who would vote for somebody like Donald Trump or who vote Republican in general are voting against their own interests.
Mm-hmm.
And I've heard that a lot for years. About people in rural areas, and I come from farm country. I grew up on a farm, and people have asked me so many times, I've lost count. you know, why do rural voters vote against their own interests? And my answer has always been the same. They're not voting against their own interests. They're voting for their interests as they define their interests, not as you define their interests.
Exactly.
You've decided what their interests are, and you're thinking they're voting against those interests. But you don't get to define their interests for them. They get to decide what is in their interest, and that's what they are voting for. And I think we need to give careful thought to what. How do they define their interests? How do they think this country should be run? And then make them a better offer. But if we just jump to the conclusion that, well, they don't even understand their own interests because they aren't listening to us about what their interests are, and they're voting against what we think their interests are. To me, that's a huge mistake. We've got to seriously think, what are they motivated by?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Catherine's in the studio with us. Good morning, Catherine. Come on in here.
I listen every Wednesday with great anticipation how Mike's going to make us feel better about
making
everything.
Us feel bad right
and now.
Now
I've just pissed you all off.
No, he's making you feel bad. And I heard that on the way in. I'm like, oh, he's telling John he's not getting it right. And yeah. And it's real.
Oh, I wasn't writing it to John.
I know you weren't.
This was not a love letter to John.
I hear you. a dear John letter. What occurred to me, because I'm trying to understand what you're saying, Mike, and I agree, one of my, if you asked me, Catherine, what is your most hated thing that happens to me? What do I hate more than anything else when someone does to me? And it is talk down to me. Falsely accuse me.
Yep.
Those two things. You know, my dad talked down to me a lot. I got daddy issues or whatever. And I just grew up thinking, you are never going to talk down to me.
Right.
I'm not more smart than you are, but I don't, and therefore, you're not smarter than me. So don't talk down. So I think that's what, at the essence, Donald Trump never spoke down to anybody. He couldn't. Couldn't. He has no position to. So... That's the ultimate thing. I think about Harris at the rally I went to over at the Alliance Center, and everyone was so happy, but she wasn't talking down to us, but she was talking down to the people who aren't going to vote for her.
Well, yeah, Trump does talk down to a lot of people, the people he's not interested in.
Yeah.
And, of course, that makes us angry as well, just as it is the opposite way. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. You know, I don't know if you heard my story about my Christmas get-together, but my brothers voted for Trump.
Oh, Thanksgiving get-together. Yeah.
Right. Well, it was a Christmas.
Oh, right. Yeah. You mentioned that.
And they said, well, wait and see. You don't know what he's going to do.
Right.
You know, so if he does something good, we'll wait and see. And that was their point of view on that. And no matter what kind of example I could give, no matter you know how many people I could say, this person you're going to trust in that position, they didn't care. They absolutely didn't. They just said, wait and see what happens. And the last time, remember, when Trump was in power, a lot of people in the administration prevented him from doing all the bad things he wants to do. That's not going to be the case this time. And not only that, but then all of us now, everybody is going to be affected by what Trump does in this country. You know, these guys might have a lot of faith in him and think that he's not going to do all the things he says he's going to do. But you know what? We're all going to be affected by what he does. And they're going to take us down with him if everything goes down.
Yeah, you know, and I'm as troubled by what these next 4 years could bring as anybody. But, you know, Catherine probably summed up, you know, my article. She said it better than I did. because when you really boil it down to its essence, right. The subliminal message from Democrats or from the left has been these people are stupid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They just don't see. And they don't know what the hell they're doing, and they're stupidly voting for this. Mm-hmm. And that alone could make a whole bunch of people say, well, if that's what you think of me, I'm not on your side.
Mike, we have to leave it there.
Thanks
Mike
for
McCabe.
Bringing us down, Mike.
Mike is Mike will be at Boswell Books in Milwaukee tonight. What time?
6:30.
So check it out. He's going to be there signing books. His Miracle Along County Q, an excellent book, a great gift idea for the holidays. Mike, thanks again. We'll see you next Wednesday. Tomorrow we'll be talking with Busted Pencils. Tim Slecker will be here with us.
See what's coming up in education.
All right. That's it for us. Stephanie Miller's next. Have a great day. Let's
Here's the John Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.